This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is Kyle Richards, the creator of the Total Sports Recall logo and owner of Abstract Sports, and you are listening to the Total Sports Recall Podcast, a part of the Sports History Network. Now, here's your host, Harv Aronson.
Welcome to the Total Sports Recall Podcast. This episode is a unique one, as while this show focuses on sports history, all sports are on the table for discussion. With that said, I am an avid combat sports fan. First it was boxing, and then I became a fan of mixed martial arts, specifically the UFC and Bellator. I'm also a big movie fan and have always enjoyed the martial arts movies. As an avid Bruce Lee fan, there have been other movies starring other trained mixed martial arts practitioners aside from Bruce Lee. I decided that this topic would be an interesting one, focusing on my personal choice of the top 10 practicing mixed martial artists who also starred in movies. There are many men and women in this category, and I'm positive that there will be some not mentioned. Perhaps my list excludes some incredibly good combat athletes turned actors, but again, these are my personal favorites. What I will do here is count my list down from number 10 to my top pick. I base my opinions on what I think were good movies, and also took into consideration the abilities of the athlete slash actor. With so many to choose from, the top two or three were no-brainers, but after that, it became much more difficult. So starting at number 10, in 1985, the movie The Last Dragon was released. The premise of the movie centered around the main character named Leroy Green, who was searching for a master in practice called Glow, so he could complete the form of martial arts. The movie was a bit campy and silly, but it was funny enough to keep you watching. Leroy Green is played by Tamek Guerrero, while he owns a black belt in Gojo Ryu Karate and Jeet Kune Do, as well as Wing Chun, Hapkido, Jiu-Jitsu, Taekwondo, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It wasn't Tamek why I chose this movie. Instead, it was then 13-year-old Ernie Reyes Jr. for why I chose him as my 10th favorite martial artist. Reyes Jr. stole the spotlight in the movie, showing off his martial arts skills. Ernie Reyes Jr. competed in Strikeforce later in life and posted a record of 3-0 when in 1998 he fought the WKA-ISKA champion Anthony Elkane and knocked him out in the third round. Reyes fought twice more, with both fights airing on ESPN. As indicated, both bouts Reyes had won, and both were by decision. The opponents were Viesna Thatch and Ryan Fotheringham. Those fights took place in 1999 and 2005. As far as his accomplishment in martial arts, Ernie Reyes Jr. owns a sixth-degree black belt in Taekwondo. At the age of 8, he became the youngest child ranked in the top 10 of adult professional black belt divisions. He would function as a stunt performer in the Ninja Turtles 1990 movie, as well as appear in the movies Sidekicks and Surf Ninjas. Ernie Reyes Jr. also trained with the likes of mixed martial artists Nate Diaz at one of Diaz's training camps. Reyes' father, Ernie Reyes Sr., is still alive today at age 79 and trained his son in his skill set, as he himself is a practitioner in Tan Soo Do and Taekwondo, but also studied boxing, kickboxing, Eskrima, and Wushu. Reyes Sr. is a member of the International Sports Hall of Fame and is a fight choreographer, including working on The Last Dragon. In 1977, Ernie Reyes Sr. won the U.S. National Taekwondo Championship and followed that up with a bronze medal in the 1977 World Taekwondo Championships. Obviously, his son followed in his footsteps in learning the art of MMA. The Last Dragon also featured Vanity as Laura Charles, Christopher Murney as the evil Eddie Arcunian, and Julius Carey as the nemesis Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem. At one time, Ernie Reyes Jr. was struggling through some health issues, and on the street, he stopped to speak to a reporter, and here's what he had to say.
What's up, Ernie? All right, so it's good to see you out again. Health-wise, you're...
So I had kidney failure 2 years ago. That doesn't necessarily go away. Still do dialysis 3 times a week. But I'm training every day. Life goes on. I've been able to work, so feeling pretty good. Actually, probably some of the best shape that I've been in my whole life.
It doesn't slow you down, you know?
Oh, no. It'll kick your ass.
But sort of like you when you were a kid.
I mean, it will wear you down. But fortunately, I've been training my whole life, and so I'm in a lot better position than a lot of people that do dialysis. Like I said, I'm able to work out and train all day long, and so I think that, that's a big part of how my body's responding to it. But it's no easy gig, it's definitely a challenge, I give a lot of credit to people who, are on dialysis and still have to go to work, and life goes on, so...
Now, I noticed you're wearing the Master Slasher shirt.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's dad worked on that. Yeah. When is it going to happen?
You know what? It's a project that I've been developing for years now. Samurai, Slasher, and...
And fire trucks.
We're getting... Master Slasher's getting some new traction, so, it constantly evolves and changes, but hopefully one day we'll make a movie, so...
One last thing I got to ask you. I heard a rumor, when you were a kid, you used to go around and just kick people.
Nah.
You were kind of rambunctious.
Oh, you mean like right now?
And it kicked me in the balls.
Give me a boogie board. All right, I got to go. I got to get my kids some boogie boards, so.
All right, have a good one.
In 1991, the movie The Last Boy Scout was released. It starred Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. Halle Berry was also in the film. I've seen the movie once, but do not remember martial artist Billy Blanks being in it. Blanks became more famous not for movies, but for his Tai Bo workout routines that he put to film and video. In The Last Boy Scout, Blanks played the part of Billy Cole, a drug-addicted running back. Blanks was also in the Sylvester Stallone / Kurt Russell movie Tango and Cash. I saw this movie as well, but can't recall seeing Blanks. As for his martial arts skills, Billy Blanks is a 7th Dan in Taekwondo, and in karate, he is a 5th Dan. He holds a black sash in Hung Ga Kung Fu. He competed in several tournaments in the 1980s, namely the World Union of Karate, DO organization known as WUKO, and their 1980 tournament where Blanks placed 3rd. Blanks took home a bronze medal in the 1981 World Games in California and a bronze in the men's Kumite Open. In 1983, he became Rookie of the Year by Karate Illustrated magazine. Billy Blanks was also a member of USA Karate. Blanks is also from my neck of the woods near Pittsburgh, growing up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and today he is 70 years of age. Here is an interview that was held with Blanks on some of his fighting skills.
At 13 years old, 14, I started fighting men. You know, I was fighting in the men division. I wasn't fighting in the kids division. I was fighting in the men division. And fighting in the men division, I had to grow up fast because they were out there to hurt. And back in those days, it wasn't such thing as pads. We didn't wear pads. All you wore was knuckle tape on your knuckles, tape on your feet, and you get out there and the referee say, fight. And we fought.
For number 8 on my list, I have Dan Inosanto, a Bruce Lee disciple. I remember Inosanto as one of the challengers Lee had in having to fight through several levels of discipline in Game of Death. But Inosanto appeared as well in Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from L.A., Out for Justice, and the old television show Chips, Sharky's Machine, and The Book of Eli. The owner of a martial arts school in Delray, California, Inosanto trained in karate, judo, jiu-jitsu, kung fu, shuto mai tai, tai chi, armis, and jeet kune do. Under Bruce Lee's guidance, Inosanto became one of the three instructors to teach at one of three Junfan Gun Fu institutes. Upon Bruce Lee's untimely death, Inosanto assumed the role of principal spokesperson and historian for Jeet Kune Do, a practice created by Bruce Lee. Incredibly, Inosanto is 89, and this July will turn 90. Dan Inosanto was introduced to martial arts at the age of 11. The famous Ed Parker was a teacher to Inosanto. As an Army veteran, Inosanto learned from Bruce Lee, but was also a teacher to him, showing Lee how to become a master of the nunchaku, or known by some as nunchucks. For anyone that has seen a Bruce Lee movie and watched him use the nunchucks, Lee mastered the art with incredible speed. Inosanto holds a black belt in several mixed martial arts practices, and Lee's late son Brandon was an Inosanto student. Next on the list is Jim Kelly. No relation to the football playing Jim Kelly, but the martial artist that appeared in the Bruce Lee movie, Enter the Dragon. In that film, Kelly portrayed a fighter that was / Mr. Cool. Known for his large afro, Kelly appeared in several movies, and growing up, he was an all-around athlete, competing in basketball, football, and track and field. Earning a scholarship to the University of Louisville for football, Kelly quit the team after he allegedly hurt a coach using a racial slur to a black teammate. After that, Kelly began training in Shorinryu Karate. He also took up Okinawan Karate. In 1971, Jim Kelly won 4 prominent karate titles. One of those was the Long Beach International Karate Championship in the middleweight division. Kelly then opened his own studio, and Jim Kelly became a successful professional tennis player, becoming nationally ranked in the USTA Senior Men's Circuit. Kelly is regarded as the first black martial arts film star. Aside from Enter the Dragon, Kelly's next big role was alongside former NFL great turned actor Jim Brown and another football player, Fred Williamson. That movie was 3 The Hard Way, and Kelly played the part of a martial artist who helps the other two stop a plot to commit black genocide. Tragically, Jim Kelly died on June 29, 2013 from cancer. He was at his home in San Diego and was just 67. The next man on my list is more of a comedic martial artist. While talented, his films were geared more to a humorous side. That would be Jackie Chan. Chan is definitely the most successful film star on my list, but in my opinion, nowhere near the most talented practitioner. Still, he was a black belt in Hapkido and has trained in Kung Fu. He has skills to boot in karate, judo, boxing, taekwondo, and Jeet Kune Do. Chan is from Hong Kong, born on April 7, 1954, as Chan Kong Sang. His father, Charles Chan, was heavily involved in politics, and his parents were political refugees from the Chinese Civil War. In fact, his father was a secret agent. To avoid complication from his father's role, Jackie Chan changed his name to Fan Shilong. Jackie Chan has a long and extensive film history. Too long to mention in this podcast, but he did serve as an extra and stunt double in Bruce Lee's movie Fists of Fury. Chan's roles in movies have won him multiple awards, and aside from Bruce Lee's popularity and notoriety, Chan is the biggest martial arts star and at least the most successful ever. but given his skill set, I don't believe he's the most talented martial arts practitioner. We have reached my top five martial artists, and if you like an actor that's a martial artist who excels in kicking, then that man takes the spot at number five, and he is Chuck Norris. A black belt in karate, taekwondo, tangsudo, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and judo, Norris is also the founder of his own discipline, Chunkukdo. Many will remember the movie The Way of the Dragon and Norris fighting Bruce Lee towards the end of the movie. The year of the movie was 1972, and it helped both Lee and Norris rise to fame in the movie world. Norris served in the Air Force, and famous actor Steve McQueen influenced Norris to take acting seriously. With that, Norris appeared in the movie Breaker Breaker in 1977. A year later, Chuck Norris was the lead actor in the film Good Guys Wear Black. Norris's birth name was Carlos Ray Norris. The name Chuck came from his early military days when he served as an air policeman. After a slow start in professional karate tournaments, Norris eventually won the 1967 Tournament of Karate. In the same year, he also won the S. Henry Cho's All-American Karate Championship, held in Madison Square Garden. Norris opened a karate school that had students such as Steve and Chad McQueen, Bob Barker, Priscilla Presley, and Donnie and Marie Osmond. In 1969, Chuck Norris was the reigning world champion of karate and successfully defended his title, claiming the Triple Crown with that drip victory for the most tournament victories of the year, and subsequently was named Fighter of the Year by Black Belt Magazine. Chuck Norris met Bruce Lee in 1968 while competing in a tournament, and they became good friends at that point. Only four martial artists remain, and the next on my list is Don the Dragon Wilson. Wilson's movie list is much shorter than others in this topic and is considered in some circles as the greatest kickboxer in American history. Wilson is an 11-time world champion with 72 victories and 82 bouts, including 48 knockouts. Of his 10 non-winning efforts, only 5 were losses, 3 were no contests, and 2 resulted in a draw. As a boxer, Wilson had 9 bouts and won all but 3. 4 were knockouts. He also got knocked out 3 times. He is a member of the International Sports Hall of Fame, and now at 71, he was born in Alton, Illinois. In his fights, he was a light heavyweight and also fought in the cruiserweight division. Don Wilson appeared in the Blood Fist movies, as well as Ring of Fire and Red Sun Rising. He also appeared in Batman Forever. The Expendables was another film that featured Wilson. His last movie appearance was in 2024 in the film Black Creek. In 4 television appearances, Don Wilson has played himself on the shows Moesha, Walker, Texas Ranger, Modern Warriors, and Hollywood Lives. Wilson's nickname, Dragon, comes from his training in the White Dragon style of martial arts. Wilson will be 72 this September. The next man on my list is an actor and martial artist I just recently began watching with his series of 3 movies, 2 of which were sequels to the original film, Best of the Best. I was admiring his martial arts skills, and I believe he may be the most underrated martial artist on this list. The man is Philip Ree. In the Best of the Best movies, which there is actually 4 of them, Ree plays the part of Tommy Lee, starring alongside Eric Roberts in the first 2 movies in the set. Ree hails from South Korea and is a 6th degree black belt in Taekwondo and a 3rd degree in Hapkido, as well as trained in Wing Chun and boxing. Sometimes sequels do not match the quality of the preceding movies, but in the Best of the Best 2, that was better than the original, and the final 2 movies were even better. In all the movies, Philip Ree truly showed off his skill set. The original movie was based on real-life events from the 1980 Asia Games, pitting the United States Taekwondo team against a team from South Korea. A bit of trivia here related to the Best of Best films, Ree's brother Simon was in the films as well and is also a practicing martial artist. Here is Ree being interviewed about the Best of the Best films.
That's amazing, and I understand you're a martial artist. Can you tell me what inspired you to start?
Well, I started martial art when I was 4 years old, and because, you know, I was a skinny Asian kid, and my father was a master, and so me and my brother Simon, we started when we were very young, and the movie, we made a lot of movies, and one is a legendary picture called Best of the Best. And Best of the Best, I just wanted to tell everybody that Best of the Best was picked by AMC Movie Reviews as one of the number one pictures and also Fandango. On Fandango, it made the most inspirational movie of all time. And along with Rocky, Best of the Best made it to the Fandango list.
That's amazing. Congratulations. What's your next project, or do you have a sequel planned?
We might have a sequel to this. We might be making a reboot of Best of the Best as well.
That's amazing.
Ree's son, Sean, was in the movie Underdog Kids and now works as a professional stuntman. For those who like the Best of the Best movies, a fifth installment is in the works and will be called Best of the Best, Honor the Brave. One of my favorite movie stars is my second highest rated martial artist, Jet Li. The movie I speak of is Romeo Must Die. Li's given birth name when he was born in Beijing, China on April 26, 1963 was Li Lianjie. Martial arts began early for Li. At the age of 8, he began training in Wushu. 3 years later, he became a member of the 1974 National Wushu Team, which put on performances in the United States. Li performed in front of former President Richard Nixon, who had asked Li to be his bodyguard, even at that young age. Li refuted the request and said, "I don't want to protect any individuals, because when I grow up, I want to defend my 1 billion Chinese countrymen." Li would later win the National All-Around Championship in Wushu, winning that title 4 times from 1975 to 1979. As a 12-year-old, he was defeating men twice his age. In 2023, Jet Li was inducted into the Martial Arts Museum Hall of Fame. Li's movie debut came in the film Shaolin Temple in 1982. This film set box office records in China, selling an estimated 500 million tickets. 2 years later, the sequel came close to that record with 490 million ticket sales. And in 1984's highest money making movie in China. With that, Li's movie career was off and flying high. On a personal side, Jet Li is a Buddhist and a follower of philosophies, much like Bruce Lee was. His opinion on martial arts is this. He was quoted as saying, "I never say to myself, I'm the best fighter in the world. If someone learns martial arts solely to pick fights on the street, to lean on it as a keystone weapon in conflicts, to use it to bully and intimidate others, then that person, in my opinion, cannot be considered a true martial artist." Unlike Bruce Lee, Jet Li says he has never had to use his martial arts skills in a real-life fight. Some of the names listed in this podcast created their own version of martial arts, and Jet Li is no exception. He founded Taiji Chen, which combines Tai Chi and meditation. Jet Li is regarded in some circles as the greatest martial artist in history, but my number one choice on this list may dispute that notion. No matter what opinion one has on martial arts, Jet Li is an incredibly talented martial artist, and his skills, in my opinion, are far better than any of the aforementioned actors and accomplished artists. Jet Li has been in 31 movies, with one set to be released this year called Blades of the Guardians. And his last film before that was in 2000 as he starred in the movie Mulan. In my favorite Jet Li movie, Romeo Must Die, tragically co-star and singer Alaya perished in a plane crash on August 25th, 2001. We are now at the top of the list, and it should be no surprise to anyone that Bruce Lee is, in my opinion, the greatest martial artist ever. Forget movies. This man was downright dangerous with his skills, but his breakout movies put him on the map. Bruce Lee's acting career actually began early in his life as he appeared as an infant in a Hong Kong movie in 1941. He kept working on movies until 1971. Bruce Lee was the star in The Big Boss, also known as Fist of Fury, and that film ignited Lee's movie career and made him a household name around the world. But aside from acting in movies, Bruce Lee had his own martial arts school he created in California after emigrating from Hong Kong on the request of his father, who wanted to keep him out of legal troubles in his home country. The problem for Li, which was detailed in the biographic movie Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, is that the Asian community in California did not want Li to teach non-Asians the practice of martial arts. They gave Li an ultimatum to fight their best fighter, and if he lost, he would not be allowed to continue his school. With a win, however, he was free to do what he wanted. As his wife described that fight, it was no contest. Li easily won and went on as an instructor at his school, which drew many famous people. But Bruce Lee also put on exhibitions of his skills, and it was soon well known about his one-inch punch. With his arm straight out, Li was able to punch an opponent with such power it would knock him backwards, even from a sitting position. Tragically, Bruce Lee died young at the heart of his film career. His passing came on May 10, 1973, and while the official reason is he died from a cerebral edema, but given his workout regime and his focus on health, many have found it difficult to fathom how such a man could have died. Rumors began to swirl about the real cause of his death, including that he was murdered. What makes Bruce Lee's death more mysterious is the death of his only son, Brandon, years later, on the movie set of the sequel to The Crow, with Brandon being hit with what was called a rubber bullet that killed him while he, too, was in his prime of movie making. Despite Bruce Lee having his life cut short, his legend was born, and to this day is a hero in Hong Kong and a favorite of many from martial arts movies. When I think of Bruce Lee, though, and I'm a huge fan for all his skills, I've watched documentaries on Bruce Lee, and I've seen footage of him putting on exhibitions, and he's simply amazing. Those who knew him were best to describe the man and his abilities. First, let's hear from Dan in Osante.
Things that Bruce Lee did, and this is what people don't realize, what he did, a lot of people can't do. Like, he could really shell-shock a person with his Lee jab. A lot of people can't not. We could score with that. We could put the guy off balance with it. We might even hurt him, but we can't take a man out. He had tremendous power, and we don't have that, you know? He had speed that it flabbergasted me. You know, I was a conference champion in my college, and he used to catch me like I was just in slow motion. It was like a bad dream. I've never met anybody explosive as him. I've never met anybody as fast as him. And there will be people that will surpass him maybe in speed, but maybe in totality, probably not. Because he's a rare individual, and probably when God made him, he threw them all away.
While Jim Kelly has passed before he died, he spoke of working with Bruce Lee and his impression of him.
In my opinion, I'll tell you right now, I fought the best. I trained with the best. I know great martial artists. There's never been anybody, in my opinion, like Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely unbelievable, guys. You don't know how great this guy was. There's stories I know about Bruce Lee that I don't even share. I know who Bruce Lee sparred with.
Yeah.
I know. They won't tell you. But I know people he sparred with. I never mention their names either. But Bruce Lee was untouchable.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris, who had that infamous fight scene with Lee, also spoke highly of him.
This is almost like the mythology on Bruce Lee, who you knew very well, and actually your first movie.
I did my first film with him in 1972.
What was he like?
Well, Bruce, you know, when I fought for the world title here in New York at Madison Square Garden in 1968, Bruce is doing a TV series called The Green Hornet. And so he was a guest. And after I had won the title, the promoter introduced me to Bruce. And so Bruce and I started talking, and we really got involved in our conversation. He says, well, let's work out when we get back to L.A. And I said, okay. So we went back, and we worked out together for a couple of years.
Now, what does that mean, let's work out? You go,
We just worked out.
You lift barbells together?
No, punching bags and, you know, and kicking the bag and all this kind of stuff.
You're not fighting each other?
No. You know, I was a professional fighter.
And he was not?
No. But he was good. He was good.
So you could have beaten him?
Well, I don't even know. I didn't want to go there. I didn't go, and Bruce didn't want to.
You're being modest.
Bruce didn't want to go there, and I didn't want to go there. But anyway, we worked out together. And then Bruce left for Hong Kong to pursue his movie career, and so I didn't hear from him for a couple of years. And then he calls me out of the blue. He says, Chuck, I've done two movies in Hong Kong, and they're hugely successful. He says, I want to do a movie now in Rome, in the Colosseum, with a fight, just like two gladiators. He said, and I want you to be my opponent.
Wow.
And I said, so kiddingly, I said, well, Bruce, who wins this fight? He says, I win. I'm the star of this movie.
Right.
I said, oh, I see.
It's the only fight you ever lost.
No, I said, you want to beat the world champion, because I still held the world title. He says, no. He said, I want to kill the world champion.
When I became a fan of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, or UFC as it's more commonly known, I started wondering, what if Bruce Lee was alive and competing in the UFC? How would he have done? UFC President Dana White refused to distinctly answer that question, but in my opinion, based on his skills, I don't think there's anyone in his weight or at his weight class that would be able to defeat Bruce Lee. Lee would have also been able to handle others weighing more than him as well. When you watch Bruce Lee movies that were filmed in the 1970s, you will see him doing moves that are always used in today's mixed martial arts. That's the basis of my opinion, because 50 years ago, Bruce Lee was already practicing moves we see today. What would this podcast be without hearing from my number one choice of martial artist, long gone but not forgotten, is the voice of Bruce Lee.
When you're talking about fighting as it is,
no rules.
With no rules,
not real fighting.
Well then, baby, you better train every part of your body. And when you do punch, now I'm leaning forward a little bit, yeah. Hoping not to hurt any camera angle. Yeah. I mean, you gotta put the whole hip into it and snap it and get all your energy in there and make this into a weapon.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup. Becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
So, mixed martial art fans, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And while there may be some disagreement as to who was on my list, there can be no argument that these 10 men are among the best ever and some outstanding actors. I would like to give an honorable mention to two others not listed before, John Cheung, and a woman who is probably the finest martial artist and actress for the woman side of things, the extremely popular and well-known Cynthia Rothrock. On my next episode, the topic will be team nicknames, not professional teams and their team names, but within the team's name. You will hear about the Steel Curtain, the Big Red Machine, Murder's Row, the Fearsome Foursome, and others. Other episodes ahead include boxing matches held at Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, where I grew up, and then the Von Erich family tragedies in pro wrestling. Until the next episode, for anyone interested in reaching out to me, you may do so using the podcast official email address, which is totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. Until that time, thanks to Arnie Chapman for hosting this podcast and his Sports History Network, and be sure to check out the Sports History Network's website for more fine podcasts. This is Harv Aronson wishing everyone well.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website, seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sports.historynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sports.historynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.